unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Oh, we still didn't peak, so it's good.
Welcome back to Unwarranted Music Opinions, the show where three music fans with wildly varying tastes force each other to listen to albums that could be miles out of our comfort zones. I'm Jacob Lindberg, and I'm here with Brian Courtney and Chaz Jenkins. This is week two, and for week two we've chosen a theme. We've all chosen weird albums, kind of leaving that term very vague for very different kinds of weird music. So this is the 10th studio album by amazingly talented guitarist Buckethead. Buckethead goes right up there with one of the most important musicians in my life. I've been listening to him for many years. This album is a sequel to his debut, also titled Buckethead Land. It delves more in depth into the lore of this, what is called, amusement park.
I love the term lore.
This is a concept album delving more into what the park is about. There's a overarching plot in it, which we'll get into.
Kind of.
I'm interested to see what your guys' interpretation of it is, because I have my own. This definitely isn't one of my.
It's a deep lore filled album.
Character art. What was your favorite arc of Buckethead Land 2?
Laugh all you want, but we're about to get into it. It's not my favorite Buckethead, but it's definitely the most intriguing one. So if you want to get started, let's do it.
Okay, I guess I'll start. For me, Buckethead Land 2 was, I think, more interesting in concept than in execution, but it was well worth listening to. I'm glad I checked it out. I'm glad I listened to it three times in total. Really, musically, it is a mixture of, like, start-stop avant-garde metal riffing. Mm-hmm. Just riffing. Without much cohesion or much in the way of songwriting, just kind of showing off his talent, and then intermingled with these, like, weird spoken word park announcements, and then acoustic balladry, if you can call it that, by Albert, one of the denizens of Buckethead Land.
Oh boy, where do I start?
Honestly, for me, I found the tracks that were mostly made up of the metal riffing to be enjoyable, though not really very developed in general. Like, it kind of felt like he was like, this is a cool riff. Okay, this is also a cool riff. Let's put them both in this song. Let's put, like, 10 riffs in this song without much, like, no verse choruses or anything kind of like that, which was kind of cool. It was disorienting, but you gotta be a big fan of two things to really love this album. And those things are gory horror movies and absurdist humor.
Yep, that's me.
Because that is the mixture that you get on this album.
Oh my god.
With all of the park announcements and all of the Albert songs, which, like I said, it was worth listening to. It was interesting. It really succeeds in being unique because there's not a lot of albums like it I've heard. But do I want to listen to, you know, Taxidermy Talks with the anguished whale?
Yeah, freaking.
Where he, like, I felt like,
that's why I'm gonna taxidermy you. You should have said those mean things to me last night.
Like, you gotta get Albert his chickens back because he misses them deeply.
Oh my god.
Just like songs about murder and horrible things, goblins and ghouls. You know, cattle prod rentals. I wrote down a couple of the themes.
He's got
here.
A bucket on his head.
He was raised in a chicken coop. Can you verify that there, young fella?
I really enjoyed that. Was actually probably my favorite.
If I could describe this album to someone who was just curious, I'd say, imagine if Texas Chainsaw Massacre was a musical. Like, that's how it would describe.
That's fairly accurate, actually.
That's pretty accurate.
So if you love that type of horror, this is definitely right up your alley.
I have to say, though, the final track, I never want to hear it again.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever.
So
that was the one track that really made me go, I don't need to be listening to, like, like chainsaw sounds and people screaming for 8 minutes.
Do you guys understand what happens in the story?
I don't think we have a high enough IQ.
Okay,
I'm thinking it has something to do with Albert.
So Albert is like a long time. He's kind of like, you know, can you get past Albert? You know, that to me is one of the creepiest parts of the album, is when like
they do say that
past Albert.
Yeah,
but so Albert gets fired and he's like, I'm gonna get revenge. And there's a moment in the album where they mention that the park becomes a robot for,
yes,
like, security purposes.
Yes.
So Albert activates the robot and goes on a murderous rampage at the end of the album and gets revenge. Like, that's how I interpret it.
What? Revenge for getting fired?
For getting fired, yeah. He's like, I'm gonna...
I thought it might have been revenge for someone stealing his chickens.
Yeah, that's...
No, that's Buckethead. Buckethead was raised in a... Okay, so the lore is Buckethead was raised in a chicken coop.
If you can verify that.
We really need to get deep into this. It's important.
If you want to listen to the album Monsters and Robots, it features Primus. They do a song, I can't remember the name of it, but he delves into the story of Buckethead where he's raised in a chicken coop and people would come and kill his chickens and he would go to the graveyard and sing to them and...
I gotta say, though, Chaz, I mean, well, this wasn't, you know, an album that I'm gonna want to come back to. I certainly didn't dislike it. I enjoy bits and pieces of it. I feel like, though, when I was listening to this and I was thinking, this would be a really fun album to,
like,
get a bunch of friends.
Yeah, on Halloween or something.
And just have, like, a communal, like, listening party and just laugh at it. Like, I feel like it would be more fun if you had a bunch of people, like, The Room.
Yes.
But not, I mean, not as terrible. But, you know,
and
like, it's kind of like the musical equivalent of, like, a 90s CGI, like...
Gorefest or something.
Kind of guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was a song here specifically that reminded me exactly of this. Frozen Brains Tell No Tales.
That's the best album, the best song of the album, I think. That's,
I said, very
album.
90s. It sounds like kind of the Matrix.
Yeah.
I feel like it goes on for a little too long.
The drumming on
bad.
This album is very impressive, though.
There are a couple of tracks that go on too long. For
yeah,
me,
I think this
album was kind of a slog for me. I want to let you know, I listened to the first four tracks of this album, and I thought to myself, okay, I rewound to the beginning, and I sat down on Saturday night. I only listened to this album once all the way through. Because
really?
I could not actually...
It's an acquired taste,
I didn't
sure.
want to come back to it. And maybe so, but I wanted to make sure that I gave it a proper listen, though. You know, so I paid attention to every single track all the way to the end. I had to revisit a few tracks at the end once.
Oh, yeah, I have my problems with it, too. It's more of an experience than a, like, album you get some singles from.
If you're
looking for an
experience... You need to listen all the way through if you're going to experience it, but I didn't want to experience it more than once. However, I'm glad I did listen. I agree with...
I think the best thing about this album is Buckethead's playing is always impressive to listen to, whatever he's got cooking up. The drumming is done by a good friend of Buckethead's, Brain, he's known as. His drumming is very good, and he's worked Buckethead for almost all of his albums.
When there is drumming, though.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. There's very little on the way.
Also, Bootsy Collins is featured on this album. He's the one who goes, I'm Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs!
Absolutely love that feature.
Or how much is that bucket in the wind? Like, that's Bootsy Collins. He's the best thing on this album. He's so funny.
The absurdist humor on this album is pretty hit or miss. There are songs I love, just to talk about a few. Cobra's Hood. I love that, like, Flight of the Bumblebee solo. It's Flight of the Bumblebee. It's just very, like up and down. But, like, I enjoyed that so much. I enjoyed Machado Mirage. I think it's a track, like, directly after that. I enjoyed that track as well. I love the distortion.
It's thrash metal-y.
Yeah, pretty much
honestly,
the distortion
yeah.
throughout
the
all
the production
of
this album is pretty solid. Like,
it is.
I think it's excellent.
I said cool guitar tone on
it's,
Machado Mirage.
It's an experiment.
Mirage,
it's not. It's not meant to be musically profound. It's just we're here to tell a creepy story.
It certainly isn't.
Yes.
I do love some of the skits on this album. There are far too many. That section.
Because
that section.
It's
when
a concept.
There are about four skits in a row. One's like 8 seconds, then 10, then 42. Despise that part of the record. 100% cannot stand it. Would never listen again.
And again, if you're not familiar with the lore, it can be a little confusing.
Battery Cage Crawls is another highlight for me. The vocals on that track are absolutely incredible, and it sounds like Galaga in the background.
One of my favorites is
really cool.
The
Frozen Brains too.
Yeah, Bloody Rainbow Spiraling Sherbert Scoop. That's
no,
that's
I got
a pretty good song too.
I gotta mention Vladimir Pocket's incredible bloated skunk show. which
track names are great.
I wrote that it sounds like demented rap rock. It sounds like it has like a hip hop kind of beat to it. It's I don't know if it's good or not, but it sounds like if Beastie Boys like went to hell and like became zombies, like if zombie Beastie Boys were around and like really got into Monty Python, maybe.
You could really make a lot of absurd comparisons. I think what this album is
It's something for the fans.
It builds upon the lore.
I think you can listen to it as a non-fan. I just think I agree with Jacob that the concept is way better than the execution. I think there are a lot of tracks on here to fail to encapsulate any sort of feeling. Something like the track. I've just abbreviated it here. If one of you has the name, BRSSS. I can't remember the track.
BRSSS.
Bloody Rainbow Spiraling Sherbet Scoop.
A very not very compelling musically. I like the distortion though. There's a riff in there that's amazing. I think it's like this driving riff. All the Rooster Landing songs I think suck.
Where Albert complains.
The worst songs are Albert's ballads, but that's my, the point. Creepy. They're not meant to be.
I
to
know.
Be enjoyable.
I mean,
I don't know.
You can say it's not meant to be enjoyable as much as you want, but I don't know if that's
if
a
defense. If you
succeed
in not being enjoyable, though, you're just not enjoyable.
But it is creepy. It does give off a creepy vibe.
I mean, if we're going to talk about these albums on multiple scales, like a good and a weird, I think this is definitely more weird than it is good.
Yes, 100%. My least favorite track on this thing is Elephant Man. Oh my god, the only good part
is
about the last 55 seconds.
Also, the ending track, it definitely gives off a scary vibe. I hate the long pauses. I don't get that. If it just started with that opener, then went into the creepy Albert singing, here we go, and then with the ending, without the pauses, it would give off more of a chilling vibe, but I get the pauses, because this isn't my favorite Buckethead album, but I like that it builds upon the lore of just the story he's creating. It's a horror movie album. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, it's a cheesy 90s CGI-filled horror movie
album. It's super absurd. There's a lot of moments on here that are kind of meant to be creepy, come off as goofy, but I don't think that hurts it for me.
The creepiest parts are like, the kids have found a secret way to get into this part of the park. If you can get past Albert.
That's the creepiest part for me. I was like, okay.
Any of the Albert songs are creepy. They're uncomfortable. But the moments where it's like, can you verify that there, fella? Or the, like, balloons will spell your doom, but a gory head stub brings good luck.
I like that.
Those are charming.
I wrote down, when I heard that line specifically, I'm just imagining the woman who had to record that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who is she? Like, who is this?
Little Lils. What a strange character name.
Kind of happy sounding, like, southern woman, like, recording this Buckethead park announcement line. Like, is she, like, a studio musician? Or, like,
I have no idea.
How do you get to that point?
The acting in this album is pretty solid. Like, I think it's Buckethead or, I can't remember, doing the voice for Albert.
Oh, I absolutely love the slowed down skit. I can't remember which skit it is where he's talking about the rules for the amusement park. I adore that skit.
I love the creepy buildup of, like, the slaughter zone, you know, that creepy...
I do like that thematically, the entrance and the exit to the slaughter zone. I do like that last track.
Again, it's like a horror movie. It's building up that creepy aspect of it, and you know it's coming.
I never want to hear that last track again.
I
think it's a fitting closer. I think this album is more weird than it is good, like you said, Jacob. Mm-hmm. I give it, for weird scale out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
This thing is really, really out there.
So let's go around. It's
an honest expression. As far as, like, music and just overall enjoyment, it's like a 6 out of 10. I don't think...
Six? Really?
I give it a 6.
Don't ever want to listen to it again, but you think it's good?
Because I enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed certain tracks a lot. The opening track, Cobra... Well, the opening, like, bits. Cobra's Hood is fantastic.
Frozen Brains...
I've abbreviated most of these. VPIBSS.
That's probably the Vladimir one you're talking about.
VPI,
I really like that track. The bass line on that track's really nice. I think there's a bass line. It's really dense.
It's the hip hop kind of one.
Yeah, I do. I like the bass on that one regardless. Battery Cage Crawls is absolutely incredible. Inside Out Bass is one of the most successful spooky vibes on there. Frozen Brains is absolutely enjoyable, and I think the last track is a really fitting closer. I think this album is good because it captures a thematic experience.
This is
where,
like,
it lacks is some of the music, and just because someone's playing very technical, I can respect their skill, but it doesn't mean it's enjoyable. But I do like the distortion on a lot of guitars on the tracks, and I think
I love
the start stop on most of this album. I would say about half the album, the start stop is really enjoyable. There are some times where I was like, Stop playing the song. I can't stand this. Like, there's too much. I don't know where I am in the album anymore.
As a true Buckethead fan, I'd say this isn't a good introduction. But if it intrigues you, I highly recommend just exploring his catalog on your own, because you're going to find some stuff you'll love.
Part of the
because there's plenty to, there's so much to choose from.
Part of the rating is also I would explore more Buckethead. I think this I would explore more like this. I just don't ever want to hear this again.
If right. you love the heavy sounding stuff, I'd check out Cuckoo Clocks from Hell. That's a really good heavy album. There's layers of Buckethead. There's epic.
There's two buckets. It's like a gift. Well, no. Where they knock off the first bucket, but there's a second one.
Well, no, there's pics of him wearing multiple buckets.
I like his gimmick.
So
like
there's epic Buckethead, chill Buckethead, and dark heavy Buckethead. This definitely falls in the category of dark and heavy. I'm more of a fan of the chill and epic because there's just some riffs he come up that's just like you're in an epic 80s action film. There's the chill where like. One of my favorite albums by him, and one of my favorite albums of all time, is Colma. A beautiful album that is just it puts you to sleep in a good way. It's just ambient and chill.
I can actually attest to that because I remember you had me listen to that like years ago, and I didn't really like it that much. But I also at that time wasn't very familiar with ambient music at all.
I think if you were to give it,
and
a new
I
listen
gave to it, me. I did. I revisited it. A year or two ago, and actually really enjoyed it. So that is a pretty good album.
So really, this is a perfect artist that you do your own research. You will find something that you'll
like. Once you can appreciate someone's sound, you can really go back and explore. Because I there have been plenty of drone projects that I've listened to in passing, but I don't really remember because I'm just trying to get familiar with the sound that I absolutely want to go revisit because I love the sound. But once you understand what the core sound is like, you can appreciate things more. So I don't think I really want to come back to this, but I think I could appreciate what Buckethead's
stuff. You don't need to come back to this album.
He's a great player. I can't stress that enough. Like, he is amazing. There's some fantastic, the Bumblebee solo, the heavy distorted riffs are amazing.
And that's just one side of him.
But for each track on here that's amazing, there are four skits in a row. There's a lot of starts up playing that eventually becomes pretty incessant. Some of the tracks just aren't really compelling, and the concept is kind of weak. But I think there's a lot of good stuff on this album, but I could not see myself going back to it once. It's really weird.
What's your rating again?
10 out of 10 for weird. Easily the weirdest of the bunch we listened to. 6 out of 10. I enjoyed it, didn't love it. There's things on here I do love, but most of it I don't really
So I'm going to kick off that. I give this album a 6 out of 10. It's not my favorite.
Really?
No. I can attest that this is not Buckethead's best album. And it just shows how much I love weird music, but it clearly shows that I haven't listened to a lot of actually weird music, as we'll get into more of this episode. because I give it a 7 out of 10 on the weirdness scale. It's not the it's probably the weirdest album that I thought I've heard until now, and we'll get into that. But
wow.
You think
one of the albums that we chose is weirder?
This is so weird, though. This is easily...
Because to me, it's like a funny, it's like a cheesy, creepy
right,
horror movie.
Yeah.
It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
okay.
the album. And I'm a huge Buckethead fan, but not his best work.
Oh, man.
But as far as weird music goes, until today, it was the weirdest album I've ever listened to.
That's awesome.
Jacob, what do you think?
I think weirdly, this is probably the weirdest. I mean, obviously, there's different kinds of weird today, and we'll get into it. I would give this like a strong 9 on the weird scale. Musically, probably 5. There's stuff I like. There's stuff I dislike. It's not what I'm going to return to, but I'm glad I listened to it. And that's kind of my basis for like a 5, you know, it's...
Never revisit.
So kind of in the middle.
9 out of 10.
You revisit a 6.
Now we're going to talk about the album that I chose for this week, which is the album Deceit by the band This Heat, which came out in 1981. This Heat were an English experimental rock, post-punk, kind of all over the place avant-garde band. They only had 2 albums, Deceit being their last album.
Damn shame.
Which really is a shame because I think I'll let Brian start if we're going to go in a clockwise direction. But I'll just say, to preface this, I don't know, and I've heard a lot of albums, you can see... There's influence. There's bands that have taken influence from This Heat, but I don't know if I've heard a single other album that does what Deceit does. What do you think, Brian?
I don't even know how to start. This album's a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
This is easily my favorite record I've heard in a very long time. I just want to open with that. I love this record. This is fantastic.
I concur. I really love this record.
This is, the opener is super, I'm just going to go through the tracks here and just try and get all, I want to air out everything I have to say because I've been most excited to talk about this one all week.
That, you know, this makes me so happy.
On a weird scale.
I have
weird,
things to say.
On a weird scale, I'd really only give it a 7 on its best. I don't actually, I think it's pretty weird. I think it's weirder in concept, but it actually is pretty weird musically too. Some of the weirder, the weirdest moments though didn't really push me away or seem too inaccessible. Wow, the opener is amazing. Just super eerie tone setter. If Andrew W.K.'s We're Gonna Party Hard is a mission statement for I Get Wet, this is a mission statement for Deceit, but it's much darker and it's much more thrilling, in my opinion. This album is a concept album about, as far as I can tell,
it's about
post-nuclear setting.
It's about the nuclear scare.
And talking about war. Paper Hats. If I had a least favorite song, this is it.
Really?
I think it goes just a bit too long. I love how loud this is. I love that breakdown at 2.5 minutes. I cannot accept that. I listened to that track on its own a few times. While it is too long, I would be dishonest if I were saying it weren't. I think it fits with the rest of the album. It's very, like, you know.
See, I think, honestly, this is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And Paper Hats is my favorite song on the album. So I guess it goes to show that
right. There's
a lot to like here if we can.
I mean, my least favorite thing is that it plays a little too long. And like,
I love the extended groove at the end. I wish it would go on for another 5 minutes.
Really? I think the groove is nice. I just think it's a little too long. But I dislike it in the same way. It's like, oh, this muffin has too many chocolate chips. I don't actually hate that. I just think it's like, oh, it's unfortunate, in quotes.
All right, let me kick in here.
Hold on. I want to get to I have to talk about this.
All right, bye.
Triumph is awesome. I wrote here, it slaps.
Those kazoos!
I want to read some of my notes. It's amazing. Yeah, the kazoo. I'm so glad I was right about those being kazoos. I love how mocking it is. It's so satirical and downtrodden. It's like upsetting. I love how brief it is. I love the lyrics on this track. I didn't write any lyrics, actually, but I know, like,
there's a few that really stuck out.
I had to save room on my notes, essentially. SPQR. I wrote at the beginning here, Let's Go. This song's amazing.
It's my second favorite
on the whole album. The vocals are completely whacked out. Correct me if I'm wrong, is this the one where he's, it's so primal. Like, it's just like...
Isn't this the We All Are Romans Unconscious Collective?
Yes.
I love the melody. I love the screeching.
It's so empowering. I love the use of the phrases in that song. It just, the whole, and at this point I wrote, like, the whole, this is one of my third listen, I wrote this, the whole concept is so beautifully tied together.
Mm-hmm.
They cover every aspect of this scene they're trying to create. Cenotaph, easily the best song on the whole record.
Really?
Absolutely love Cenotaph. That poppies line about the poppies in the field, and that's how the poppies are on the battlefield, that's awesome. That is one of the most poetic things I've ever heard. Shrink Wrap, I'm struggling to remember. I just wrote haha WTF. I never updated that.
It's a weird track.
It's a really weird track. I think it might be the weirdest.
It's got a lot of tape loops.
Maybe next to the ending track and Prague Radio. Prague Radio is great though. It's a good cool down moment.
I love the way
Brian's saying things that I completely disagree with.
That's the great thing about this, because I think all three of us, we really enjoy this album.
No,
right?
I was wrong about the vocal delivery on SB.
That one's a little
makeshift sway.
That's the track.
It's awesome.
Oh my god, I love the way Radio Prague goes right in the makeshift Swahili. It's like, it's quiet, it's weird, and then you hear the boom, bum, 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 and then it just takes off.
It's totally unhinged. He's an animal in this world.
And I just gotta say, when we're talking about makeshift Swahili, that's probably my second favorite song on the whole album.
It would be Cenotaph, then makeshift Swahili. God, SPQR is amazing.
Yeah.
What a great song.
That guitar line that just
ripped. Yeah. Oh my god. This album made my blood want to fly out of my body.
This album is like walking down the street and like almost getting mugged and then like escaping.
I felt like I was sprinting through like this just dusty apocalypse, like Fallout New Vegas tent, but like it's much more disgusting and depraved. This whole album paints an amazing picture of this world that has been ground to nothing in the horrible shit that's happening.
Yeah.
This is an amazing album. It's one of my favorite things I've heard in like 2 years.
Wow. I'm really, really happy because honestly, like, one of the greatest things about being really into music and listening to a lot of music is when you recommend someone something and they end up really, really enjoying it and it becomes one of their favorites, or they just end up loving it. Like, that is why I talk to people about music to kind of spread the joy and like just not to validate my own opinions, but to just if more people are listening and enjoying something.
I got to say
one last thing.
Hold on, I got to mention while we're on makeshift Swahili though.
I'm sorry.
Have I ever heard another song where it shifts to an alternate recording of the same song in the middle of it?
Yes, there are three different recordings of this song in this song.
It sounds
this is where
insane. It's like it's descending into some abyss. Like seeing that live in the early 80s.
Oh my god!
In the early 80s. And that sounds like extreme metal today.
This album is so ahead of its time. It's like 100% ahead
of its time. It sounds like Slint. Some of the moments on here musically sound like Spider-Land. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. This
it really does.
This album.
Can I jump in, please?
Yes.
I need to talk about this album.
Yeah.
Alright, Chaz.
Alright.
Sorry.
Let's start off with what I liked, and I'll go into the tracks that really spoke to me.
Do you really have to give it a 2? You know, like,
this album is strangely relaxing. It didn't weird me out as much as you built it up to be, Jacob.
I think it's terrifying.
I disagree. I find this album, like, I almost fell asleep on my first listen, but in a good way.
Really?
I was so, like, mesmerized by what I was listening to.
The first track is called Sleep.
The themes of nuclear devastation and post-apocalyptic terror, like, when I listen to this album, I feel that. I feel what they were scared of when they made this album. And I guess you said it's ahead of its time. Damn right it's ahead of its time. It's more prevalent now than ever. Like, listening to the album now, I get it. I totally understand. And then it is unsettling. This album is unsettling, which makes the instrumentation that more interesting. The drums and the guitar. It's the exact opposite of Miniman, where there's not much bass work in this, but the guitar work in this is phenomenal.
The drumming.
And the drumming.
Oh my god.
It's fierceness.
It sounds so loud.
But it's I love how melodic it is.
It's like they recorded right next, and it just feels like you're in the room.
Wasn't this recorded?
I listened to this album today while driving, doing errands, turning it up super loud
you
in the car.
You don't want to get away.
Oh my god.
Like, just
wasn't this recorded in a meat locker?
It was recorded in a cold storage building that was abandoned.
The production on this is pretty cool.
It's fantastic.
It's
1981.
Cool.
For 1980, I mean, this
It's one of those projects where you just have to imagine. A couple guys got together and were like, yo, let's make an album about nuclear devastation. And everyone was like, let's do it.
That's not quite how they began, but I can see what
it's one of those things where it's like someone came together and thought of this and created it. I love how melodic it is. And let's talk about that climax. Alright, I have mixed opinions on Radio Prague. It's my least favorite track and it's my favorite track. It's building up and then it stops and you just hear.
Yes. Yes.
But there's moments where I don't like how loud it is at some points. It's too loud. There's this like tink that just repeats and I
like that.
I don't
It's unsettling.
Well, as a listener, look, I get the point of it, but as a listener, it's like, okay, you can stop that now.
No, I love it because they're purposefully trying to make you uncomfortable and it gets you in this vulnerable mood when makeshift Swahili just pounds in.
Oh my god, makeshift Swahili makes me feel like there's like snakes in my underbelly. It's
just now, about the lyrics, like, there's some great lines in this album. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. You can have your cake and eat it. Or, we finance clinics to research a cure for cancer, our least vague fear. The themes on this album are very prevalent. You need to listen to this album now more than ever. But sometimes lyrics are a little vague. Does that make sense? Like, sometimes honestly, this should have been an instrumentational album because the music gets along that theme of nuclear devastation far more than the lyrics do, in my opinion.
Oh, I disagree.
I disagree.
If this album was just the music, I would have loved it just as much as I do with how it is.
I mean, I agree with you that the instrumentation is probably the most important part of this album.
Because it gets that.
However, I do think the lyrics all across the board, even if they are
vague.
I'm not
saying they're bad lyrics.
Even if they're vague, I think they work well to set an atmosphere, which, even if it's not being specific about their concerns, kind of puts you in the mindset.
Because the music does it for them. That's what I'm saying. You guys probably disagree with me. I think the album ends a little weak. It just seems like, I'm sure there's a point, but you just have such a hell of a, like, Radio Prague just bam, and he gets into it, but then just kind of with some random noise. I don't know. It didn't work for me.
I'll talk about that when I get in deep into my opinion.
Go ahead. Like, I've said, let me say, this is a damn good album.
I ran out the timer here.
I am going to get this album on vinyl. It's that good to me.
Wow. I'm really excited about this.
We'll get to ratings in a minute. Like, I want to hear what Jacob has to say, because I'm sure he has reasons and such.
I discovered this album, it was probably in 2016, during the summer, I would guess. And it took a while for it to get into, like, my top 200-ish favorite albums of
when
all time.
When you were
which
psyching
is
this album up for us, you, like, said scared you. Like,
it does. So, it was a grower. Like, I didn't love it at first, but what I did love was Paper Hats. Paper Hats, soon as he started, screaming, like, it shivers. Like, this is so... It was just wild. And then when it goes into that shift, the clatter, and then it goes into the extended groove, which ends with the same extended groove being looped and played a little bit earlier, or like a little bit before, so it kind of disorients it and throws it off beat a little bit. I could ride that groove out for another 5 minutes. Like I said, like Paper Hats to me is a perfect song. It's my favorite song on the album for sure.
This is not my favorite Trey Lamb. I think Sleep is a perfect song.
Sleep is great.
What a hell of an intro.
It's kind of a
pleasant. And see, and you guys know this, I'm a sucker for melody. And that's a catchy-ass song that I might actually pick up just to listen to on my own. Because
my only regret is I can't listen to this on the go. Like, I need to move it onto my phone. But I will say, I forgot to talk about Shrink Wrap. I love that they're just playing Sleep backwards.
It's
so good. And you can't... I legit thought I was like, is this playing Sleep again? Fantastic.
Yeah, the best tracks, in my opinion, are Sleep, SPQR, and Makeshift Swahili.
I want to shout
out... Damn good stuff.
I want to shout out New Kind of Water.
Yes. We got to talk about the bass and how it just punctuates every, drum beat. Like the boom, boom. Like, it just...
Yeah, the bass is in the background, but it's doing its job.
It really is.
The showstopper is the...
And I love when...
Wow.
All of the... When the bass and drums... stop for a moment and you just the guitar line, and then it just comes back in with a vengeance. So I'd listen to this album and I'd still be like, okay, my favorite songs here far and away: Paper Hats, Makeshift Swahili, and A New Kind of Water. And those are still, I think, my three favorite. It's kind of an album that I came back to for those tracks, and I like the rest of it. And the more I listened to it, the more I kind of took it all in as a whole piece of music. The whole album really needs to be listened to from front to back. And that's why I think the last track works, because after A New Kind of Water, you're kind of tuckered out a little bit.
You've been beat over the
head with all of these dark themes and wild screaming vocals and frenetic drum beats. And a song which translates to Suffer Bomb Disease comes on. You're just kind of in awe of what happened before you, and you have this weird...
It's just
creepy,
and
you feel like you are in a city that has just been blown up by a nuclear bomb.
I'll give you that.
It's dust falling on the rest of the album, and it's most definitely not a song that I'm going to listen to on its own. But as the culmination of
this
the concept that
just
this
like
album
Buckethead
is,
Land 2, this is an experience album. You have to listen to it all the way through.
But I think
to get
more so than Buckethead Land 2, the music is fantastic.
It absolutely
and
is.
And it just conveys such a perfect message. This album is where art and music just are completely cohesive.
Like, if you were to go to a museum of music, like, this album would be.
This album is a defining moment of post-punk and experimental rock in general.
That's the thing. It doesn't even feel like punk to me. Like, there's no punk about it.
There are themes of punk on.
There are themes.
Definitely on SPQR.
That's the most punk song of the album, I think.
Post-punk,
that melody is so cool. I love that melody.
Kind of a misnomer. It developed alongside punk. It was basically very artistically minded musicians taking a look at punk rock, saying, let's not go back to basics, let's be really futurist, and trying to make music oftentimes that was as futuristic and as forward-thinking as possible. So it was more of a movement than it was really a genre, even though you can kind of tell when a song is a post-punk song. So that's why they kind of are lumped in with post-punk, because they're part of that movement. But, I mean, this is closer to experimental rock
of a modern time.
Germany,
yeah,
than it is with, you know, Joy Division. And
damn
stuff
shame
like that.
The guys only made two albums.
Is
there even a reason why they stopped making music?
I don't remember.
They're clearly very creative. This album's perfect. I love this album. Art, music meet, like I said, completely cohesively. The concept. This is one of the strongest concept albums I've ever heard. The lyrics give everything perfectly. I don't think you can have anything on this album without one other part of it. You cannot leave.
I'll agree with that.
You cannot leave these vocals. You cannot leave this instrumentation. You cannot leave the production. It's perfect.
I don't think I've heard vocals as aggressive. When Paper Hats hit, I was thinking 1981. He laid down that vocal track in 1981?
Well, dude, think about what was going on. People were pissed.
I know, but the aggression. There's not a lot of music with vocals that wild in 1981.
There's
unless
nothing
it's,
like Makeshift Swahili in 1981.
I mean, it
no,
sounds
nothing.
Like
you can
it
hear.
Sound, I mean, it could be a black metal song. When it gets to that lo-fi bit, it has the aesthetic of like a 90s black metal song. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Ahead of its time and just as prevalent now as it was back then. Gorgeous album.
This album's perfect. Weird. As far as weird, I don't
not
think...
Not as weird. Not weird.
It's whacked out.
Not
I don't
that
think
weird.
It's that weird.
I think it's weird in a different way.
I think songs like Prog Radio and New Kind of
musically,
Water,
I think it's really weird because, like I said, I don't think there's a lot out here that like this.
Oh, there's not many, but like...
It incorporates like krautrock, industrial, and avant-garde.
I wasn't going, what the hell am I listening to? I was going like... It's not weird to me. That
Triumph reminds me a lot of off The Fool from Neutral Milk Hotel. This kind of like, you know, mocking war anthem.
It kind of
reminds me of that because I've been listening to that album a lot lately. So I want to just make that comparison.
I can see that.
So what would you give it, Brian?
7 out of 10 on the weird. Just I think there are some moments on there that are really whacked out in a very great way. 10 out of 10. This is a perfect concept.
I 5 out of 10 on the weirdness scale. Did not weird me out as much as I thought it would. Like Buckethead 2 was weirder than that to me, and I knew that album. 8 out of 10 is an album. I'm picking this up on vinyl as soon as I can.
I
love this album.
I'm really glad to have recommended something you both really enjoy.
Better than Minuteman. Good job, Jacob. Good job.
Your Minuteman opinion still makes me angry, but you've redeemed yourself somewhat in my eyes. Weirdness scale, I would say this is a strong 8 for me. Like, I still am just freaked out by Radio Prog, and then when it goes to make sure, I mean, it sounds
alien. That's probably
alien.
The weirdest part of the track.
It just sounds like a different world, like it, or our world, but changed drastically, and just the delivery of the vocals and everything, it just kind of freaks me out a little bit. I would say this is like a strong 9 out of 10. I'm a little hesitant to give out like 10 out of 10s. Like, it's not like a super super core, you know, defining this is who I am as a music listener kind of album, which is kind of what I reserve that rating for. But I absolutely love it. I would definitely put it among my favorite albums. It's top 3 of 1981, and that's saying a lot because I've listened to a lot of albums. There's a lot of great stuff in 1981.
This is one of my favorites I've ever heard.
Good job, Jacob.
Absolutely.
Good pick. 100%. Good pick.
This is, you know, this is awesome. For me, I'm pretty much a music novice, but
this is like getting hit with a brick of knowledge.
This is like one of my favorite albums I've ever heard. It's easily, it's probably top 2. Like, it would be number 2.
Wow. That
it's amazing.
I'm ecstatic to have introduced you.
I was bubbling all week to talk about this album. I was like, wow, I love it. This, by the second listen, I was like, this is genius. This is a pretty genius album.
Oh, yeah. Respect. Mad respect. If these guys are still around, they need to come
back. I'm honestly glad they're done.
They need to come
so
back.
They could have ended on this high note.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
honestly,
yeah.
Like, I'm glad they never made anything else, so I had to be like, yeah, and then, you know, X. Ha, ha, we all laugh. Like, you know, this is fantastic.
I don't know what they did. I think one guy is, like, an accountant? I don't know. Shout out to that guy. He's made a career after being in one of the wildest bands of the early 80s.
Of the 80s.
Oh, my God. This sounds amazing.
All right. Now we're going to talk about the album that Brian over here chose. Brian?
This is the first half of the record, the double LP, The Powers That Be, that Death Grips dropped in 2015. This is their fifth album. They debuted in 2011, strong, with their mixtape Ex-Military. Went on to make, in 2012, what is classically believed as their best record, The Money Store. And they also released No Love Deep Web that year, a very dark electronic album. Following that, we got a no promotion. Typically, they're known for the very strange and abrasive promotion. They dropped Government Plate, their fourth studio album, after dropping from the record label Out of the Blue. And this project was the same way, dropped completely out of the blue, announced as a double LP, after which the band would announce their breakup, which was a faux breakup, and they would go on to make more records after this. This album is one of my favorite musical experiences, for maybe different reasons than Deceit was, but for similar reasons as well. but I want to hear what you all think first before we kind of get into it. I'll let Jacob go first.
Okay. Chaz, I get the feeling that you don't like this.
I hated this album.
Wow.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry to
it's okay. It's a terrible introduction to Death Grips.
Okay.
We'll let you go first, Chaz. You have
something
to say.
Let me get in on
We'll let you take it down a peg, and then me and Brian can defend it.
Please educate me. Unbridled chaos is how I describe this album. It is just nuts. Bjork is also really cool. Her features and use... These guys... I can already tell that their use of sampling is far different than like any mainstream rapper.
Well, let's define the sound here before we get really into it for anyone
it's
listening.
It's just noise!
No, let's define the genres. Let's talk about, objectively what's going on here. So Death Grips is a very well-known experimental hip-hop. I mean, when I say experimental, I mean industrial, electronic elements, you know, very, very ultra-aggressive experimental hip-hop band. And this album takes a lot of cues from their electronic side, from their industrial side, and it makes very heavy use of sampling of Bjork's vocals, especially on her album Volnakura.
It's very crazy.
Yeah. Some of these vocals are original samples, Lynn. There are things. There is one particular bit on the first track that is from Lion Song, I believe, mm-hmm. or maybe it's on Billy Not Really. But some of these are sampled from songs. Some of these are Lynn.
The use of sampling is very creative here, and I love the bits of Bjork they use.
I'll give one last thing of background on Bjork. She's actually followed them closely for a while. When they dropped from the record label originally, she sent them an email supporting their art. So they have this weird, and they've remixed two of Bjork's songs from Biophilia. So they have a very strange, kind of underspoken relationship.
And you can tell
Bjork has done experiments.
Their relationship
is
solid.
She actually plays their music at her show. She's played Guillotine.
Yeah, I can see that her liking them, and I
the
can
relationship
see them
in this album is pretty solid. I'll give it that. But oh my god,
well, there's the butt.
Look, you can say all you want, but this album is just noise to me. You know how old folk are like, turn off that dang music, that's just noise. That's me. This album, the whole time I was listening to it, I was like, what am I listening to?
How many times did you listen through, I want to ask? How many times?
Twice.
Okay, because I couldn't.
And that's all I needed.
Don't blame you, I couldn't go back to Buckethead.
The whole time I was like, I don't get it. What are they talking about? Like, this isn't even rapping to me. It's just saying random words, and sometimes they rhyme. Like,
this is easily their most cryptic project.
And,
no one can make sense.
And I'm not a fan of cryptic, like, and I hate to go in on this album when I know you love it, Brian.
Proceed.
Because I get it. I get the energy. I bet listening to this live is an experience.
They don't play any of this album live.
Well, that's stupid.
They play one song.
I could mosh to this. This is a moshable album.
The only song performed in full from this album is Say Hey Kid.
I can see that. That's probably the most standard.
Well, they
like,
played the first
sound.
Maybe 2 minutes about my
sleep. It's so repetitive.
I don't think it is.
Like,
this is one of the biggest complaints about the album.
Oh my god. Up My Sleeves! I hated this track.
Never mind. Not that. Most people complain about the Bjork samples being...
No, that's what I love the most about this album, is the Bjork sampling. I thought that was the coolest thing. You mentioned to me beforehand...
So take it track by track for us.
Okay, Up My Sleeves, cool intro. You mentioned to me that they sampled...
I love the way it starts.
Yeah. But then just, up my sleeves, sleeve, 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 sleeve. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? What does that mean? and it just, then he starts rapping and it's like, I'm like, what are you saying, dude? What are you talking about?
Did you ever go look at the lyrics?
I didn't even bother.
Great.
Then you've absolutely missed out. Wow, no wonder then. Up My Sleeves, Billy Not
Please
Billy.
Enlighten me what the hell
well,
is talking about.
I wish you had
about.
Read them. Say Hey Kid. Wow, I wish you'd seen the lyrics.
You
that
have
is a
to
big,
have
big,
Say Hey Kid.
You should have looked at the lyrics.
You have to
that's,
read
that's
100%,
the lyrics. That is for me, devalidated your opinion a little bit. You didn't read the lyrics. I read the lyrics to Minutemen. I read the lyrics to Buckethead.
Well, I was so... Why?
There's insight on those tracks, but most of the things can be heard clearly.
The lyrics are very...
I read Swahili. I didn't understand Swahili. I don't know what he's chanting at the end. The only reason I know it's rhubarb is because I looked it up.
Well, here's the thing about me. I bother with lyrics when I like the sound. If I don't like the sound, then already I'm turned off.
For me, that's a huge...
With Deceit, I loved what I was listening to, so it made me want to really dig deeper. But with this, it's just... just noise.
You're lucky I know most of the words to these songs. So,
please, what is this album trying to talk about?
This album covers a lot of topics and varied levels of crypticism.
Please enlighten me what "f me out" means. What is that album? What is that song?
That and Voila maybe less so. Probably me out as the... Well, we can't really say that over and over again. That track, you know.
The track that... We'll just call it... what should we even call that?
I guess we just F me out or like... Well, that sounds kind of childish.
That,
just call it... the second to last? I don't know.
And that was the debating third to last.
What we, I was debating I'll tell you what we've said it once.
I was debating on what we call this actual album name. Like,
that's fine.
Narwhals on the Moon.
Nardwar on the Moon.
On the
Nintendo
moon.
64 on the Moon.
Nepotism on the Moon.
This record's not going to get mistaken for much else.
Yeah, for real.
But talking about the lyric content of Up My Sleeve. Well, Jacob, talk about it. You've read...
I don't remember them, like, perfectly. I listened to this album three times. They're not immediately in my mind. So I know you know this album very well, so I'll just... I'll hand the torch back to you.
Buddy. Okay, yeah. So Up My Sleeves is... There are themes of suicide on this track. It's one of the more personal tracks Death Grips have ever released, in my opinion, with Rye talking about the death of his mother in a very brief line where he says...
Well, see, now I feel bad because, like, that's just... Because
you didn't read them. But that's that was a bold move.
Hey. Even if I didn't read them, the music should portray that. And the music does not portray that one damn thing.
I think it does.
What?
Death Grips. How does... Up My Sleeves! Up My Sleeves!
Because
how does that even...
Musically, it is chaos and unbridled aggression and...
If you're talking about the music representing what's on the track, the part in Up My Sleeves conveys it perfectly where it completely stops and slows down. It's one of my favorite breaks on the album. It's that song is so breakneck in how it goes. Up My Sleeves is one of the best examples on that album of a track that does not... You think it's multiple tracks. If you're not looking at track times, you really don't know when they switch, in my opinion. So on Up My Sleeves, when it slows down, it's like, I've ever known. It's all I've ever... That part... where he's talking about, like, it's like death is all he's ever really understood, and the slow, and then, like, the slowed vocals when he says, where the vocals are so slowed down and heavy, it's just, like, dragging through molasses. Fantastic. And the tone there is set on Say Hey Kid, this very, mm-hmm. like, meditative, like, boom, boom. It's one of the most peaceful,
Say Hey Kid and Billy Not Really are my favorite tracks of this album.
Billy
Not Really had the most melodic beats. I love the sound of that. But all the other ones are just so... It's too much. It's too much for me.
Did you understand what he was talking about on Say Hey Kid?
Come play dead. Say hey kid.
He's damning the herd mentality. He's like, don't it feel good to drive a bus? People need to get picked up. Pride your uniform and strut. You yell what my people would grunt. It's a fantastic lyrical moment that explains that track thoroughly, in my opinion. Songs like F Me Out and Voila, Voila is the most uninterpretable. I've liked it the more I've listened to it, but F Me Out is more about the cheapness of sex. And it just is, you know, I love the portion toward the end where he's actually, like, giving these, like, moans. These, you know, like, almost these sensual moans. into blah, blah, blah.
He's not even really rapping. Like, it's,
well, that's a...
It's, quite, it's more like he's reading... It's. And I know this is weird to say, but like, it's like he's reading poetry.
No, that's not weird at all.
But yeah, there's not a lot of rhyming.
It's, well, it's certainly not a
hey, it's hip-hop. It's weird.
It is hip-hop. It's certainly not a standard flow. If you're coming into this...
No, I'm not dissing the flow. I'm dissing the rhyme scheme. Like, there's not a lot of rhyming.
That seems pretty surface-level way to appreciate a rap album.
Well, the whole point of rapping is, like, your ability of rhyming and your flow.
Not necessarily.
Disagree. Your ability in rap is... The point of rap is the point of all other music. It's just done different musically. You're supposed to convey an artful message that is... It's not exactly easy to receive on this album, but you can pick it apart in pieces. It's art. It's not meant to cater to any sort of specific, like, standards anyone has set for it. Because if we do that, we don't get albums like this, and we sure as hell don't get Deceit.
But that's two completely different ballparks.
I disagree, but the concept is the same. So, but Chaz, I mean, it's certainly not surprising that anyone would have such a hatred of this album, similar to you.
Right.
This is an album that, if you're coming into this with a hip-hop mindset, if you're coming into this I really like catchy, upbeat, fun hip-hop
there
music.
Is almost nothing catchy.
There is nothing
at
all.
Maybe Say Hey Kid.
Billy Not Really is catchy.
I feel
that
like
that is a cool beat. I like how melodic.
I thought Say Hey Kid was catchy. That's my favorite song now.
Say Hey Kid. I like that. That
I love the blood pumping chorus on that. The way it's just
chanting. That's what I'm saying. Like, an album like this would be great live because you're just chanting what he's talking about. But as a raw listen, it's so repetitive.
Well, the thing is. To me, you might have an appreciation of this album if you've listened to, like, really glitchy electronic music, experimental IDM, like Autechre.
Well, see,
I feel like coming in with, from, I know, but that's who I feel like they're taking a lot of inspiration from on this album. And this album, really, to me, at several moments, felt less like a hip-hop album and more like an experimental IDM album with hip-hop elements.
I'll agree.
Now, I'm not saying Death Grips is not hip-hop. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that that musically is what it was. And if that isn't your thing or if that's nothing that you're experienced with...
Well, it makes me upset like that.
Then you're not going to... You're
It's going to be hard for me to listen to more stuff by them. Because it's
I
so,
really disagree with your notion that nothing rhymes on this album in the first place.
No, there's... Well, obviously there's rhyming. But like,
high man, tsunami, furrow, buried in frozen Jerry curls. That's a great line. I don't know what it means. But it's a great line.
That's me. This is deep, but I don't
know. Oh, the best line on the whole album, Up My Sleeves, in my opinion. Up My Sleeves, Hold My Ground.
See,
with
you
your
love
perch.
That song. That's the worst song to me.
Up My Sleeves, Hold Your Ground with My Perch. Up My Sleeves, Snatch My Life, Quench My Hearse. I love that line.
Up My Sleeves meaning his last resort. He's got something up his sleeves.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
He's talking about suicide and he's talking about his all this stuff, so you can kind of connect the two. And
Quench My Hearse being quench my thirst, quench my hearse, talking about quenching his hearse's desire to contain his dead body.
Mm.
Man, I love that line. Oh, man.
It's dark.
And you know what? The thing is, like, this just isn't for me. I'm not the audience for this
album. I mean, a song like Big Dipper is going to mean nothing to you because you've had no primer for Death Grips. Big Dipper is about Ride as an artist. You know what I mean?
See, I didn't like that song.
That song is a bit repetitive. It's not.
It's all repetitive.
Okay, I do want to ask, though, before Jacob gets into it, I'll ask him the same thing. What was your favorite Bjork sample?
Bjork sample?
Oh, man. What did you think of the 3 minutes at the end of Big Dipper?
I loved it.
I loved it.
Anything Bjork related, I loved because she was the highlight.
I love like about maybe a minute into that riff that.
Billy Not Really. Billy Not Really is my favorite song of this entire project.
That is a great song.
That's a great because I like the beat, so already I'm liking the sound, and just what I'm hearing is just cool.
Mine is, just to get out of the way, probably on Have a Sad Baby.
That's such a cool song.
That is such a cool. I love that.
Have a Sad Baby.
That, you don't like that vocal line? I think that might
I don't... I like... It's funny, but just...
And just the chanting, the blood...
This is a weird-ass album.
It is.
Weirdest of the bunch.
This is the least weird album I heard in the whole bunch.
Oh, my
Maybe
God.
Maybe I'm not familiar with it, but even...
You know what I just realized? We all think that our album...
is not that weird?
I don't... Like, we all have a different concept of of which album is the weirdest.
This is the weirdest.
Well, no, because we agree that Buckethead
is
the weirdest.
Buckethead Land 2 is like a horror movie. Brought through music. So that's not really weird because I love horror.
I think that one...
Deceit was more of an emotional experiment that brought forth what people were feeling in the 1980s. That's not weird. That's just an experience. This is unbridled noise that means nothing to me. And it's just the entire time I'm like, what is this?
I'm proud of you for making it twice. It's a tough listen if you don't like it.
I want to give it the benefit of the doubt. And when I listened to it a second time, I noticed more things that...
Oh, I imagine that big smile on your face when for the second time you got to hear Sleeves. Like, is it Star?
I hate that song. I hate that song. And it makes me feel bad that, like, the message of that is the most poignant and
but
heartfelt.
It's delivered in a disgusting, self-destructive way.
That's the point. He's pissed.
And that's why the music fits the lyrics, because it's self-destructive, it's chaotic, it's not...
But I don't like that music. It's similar to Minuteman, like, I can respect it, but that sound, I'm not a fan. And so if I'm already not a fan of the sound, it's going to be hard for me to appreciate the meaning of
that. It's certainly not for everybody.
Really glad you like Billy Not Really. That beat switch is nice. Hi, man. The you know, into that second verse.
I like it enough that I might pick it up.
I think this album is great.
This is solely you. This is a you album.
This is a
not.
Victory for the
It's
Lindbergh.
Weird, but it has a lot to say, and it's just experimental enough that it gets your tiny little jig of hairs clicking up and down like, ooh, experimental.
No, I look. I don't even know how I'm going to start talking.
Just go ahead.
I'm not like a big, super, super big experimental guy. I like a lot of music that isn't experimental. And to be honest, the sound of this album is pretty far out of my comfort zone. However, when I started going into it, first of all, this isn't the first Death Grips album I've heard. Though it is just the weirdest. And
this
honestly, it's my favorite.
This is my first.
It's my favorite. I've heard Ex-Military. I've heard The Money Store. I've heard Year of a Snitch. This is my favorite.
Ryan is jumping for joy.
My favorite. This is my second favorite. I've come to terms that I like Bottomless Pit more. I encourage you to listen to that record. That record's amazing. Anyway, go ahead.
So, the first time I listened to this album, I was kind of... You know, it was hard for me to latch on anything in specifically. But I was just taken by the sheer energy and the physical nature of all of this insane percussion going on, and Bjork's vocals and Ride's delivery just all resulted in this just this kind of physical and kind of intense experience. And I'm not really, you know, aggression isn't why I listen to music. I'm not a big, like, hardcore punk or like, metal fan. But this, something about this just grabbed me.
When we say Ride, we mean MC Ride is the lead vocalist. We referred to him a few times now without actually saying who he is.
That's a great point. And then I kept listening to it. I listened to it 3 times in total. I'm definitely going to go back to it, listening to it more. The sampling is super interesting.
The sampling is the best thing about the sound. It's creative and pretty... I've never heard sampling.
They've been pretty notorious for their sampling. Ex-Military has some great sampling, too, as the Money Store. The Money Store samples, I want to just let you, just to brag on this a little bit, they sample a train just moving. They sampled a printer on their first EP they ever released, and they sample on...
See, I can get behind. I can get behind.
They sample a tennis match between...
I can get behind giving you like that where, like, we're just going to sample whatever the
hell. It's like a scream of hers. You won't even know where it is. You literally won't know you're hearing it.
I thought that... MC Ride's delivery was just fantastic on pretty much every single song on here. The instrumentation is impenetrable. That's the word that I thought of. By the time I got to my third listen, which was earlier today, these songs started to sound catchy to me. These songs started to sound
melodic. Because they're chantable. Like, each song has a chant, a moment where, like, you can just...
Sure, but even the instrumentation felt that way to me.
I don't know.
When I started to think about some of the tracks here less as, like, a kind of hip-hop-oriented beat and more like an experimental IDM kind of experience, it all kind of came together to me. The shifts in these tracks where it just goes from one thing to another extremely quickly, all of it just turned cohesive. And I love the transitions between the tracks here. They're very, very sudden, but I always know when a new song is on. I feel like. I always know that there's a shift between one song to another, which proves that these songs all have their individual identities. My favorite track on here is Say Hey Kid. Maybe it's because I haven't heard this album a million times, because it is the most kind of accessible track, I think, on this album. It's the less cluttered, the deep droning bass, kind of reminiscent of a lot of modern hip-hop right now. One of the catchiest tracks with that refrain. My second favorite track on the album would be Big Dipper, with the just wild experimentation and just insane sampling on the last 2 minutes of the entire album, with just Bjork sampling going just crazy. I've heard a fair bit of Autechre. I've heard some glitch music before from the 90s and early 2000s. And honestly, that's the closest comparison I can come to with this album. Just glitchy electronic music. Though obviously it's not an electronic album, it is a hip-hop album for sure. It just takes so much of that sound and just turns the dial up to 11.
There's a lot of drum and bass elements in this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I like that.
I think my favorite line on the album, on Black Quarterback, Kadabra abrogate need. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what he's really saying there, but just the way he turns... You can say that Ride's delivery isn't classically hip-hop or doesn't have a lot of that obviously rhyming flow. I won't say that he doesn't rhyme. He does have the wordplay. I'm just going to have to listen to this album several more times. It will probably grow on me even more than it did. But I'm going to settle at probably like a solid 8 out of 10 on this album. I think it's fantastic. It's not one that I've emotionally latched onto so much. It maybe won't be one of my absolute favorites. Weirdness, probably a 9, just from how intensely unique the music is on this thing.
I will say the weirdness scale, I should go a little higher on this thing. Originally, I thought that I put it about a 6. I didn't think it was that weird, but it's because I'm very familiar. I would say it's probably an 8. And when I thought about my first listen to this, I had no idea what was going on. I was just loved it because I'd already loved Death Grips at that point. As far as just a rating, 9 out of 10. I absolutely adore this thing. I don't think it's perfect. I think I struggle with, to this day, with the song before Voila. Just a little bit. I think it's just a touch repetitive, like Jess said. And the problem with... And a couple of incessant points in this album. And at some points, I generally... With Death Grips, this isn't really a fair complaint. I generally think it's too loud. Those are all small complaints when varied against the whole album. I love this album. This album's amazing. And, I mean, my least favorite track is... You know, my least favorite track on this album is better than my favorite tracks from other albums.
I'm so sorry, Brian. You loved my album in our first.
Well, this is your first foray into Death Grips. That's not fair. This is, you know,
this is also the first time we've had like a really intense disagreement, which I really enjoyed.
As an album, look, it might grow on me. maybe more akin to Death Grips, but this song's a 2 out of 10 for me. It's just, it is not for me. But on the weirdness scale, 9 out of 10. This was my face when I first heard this album. Alright, gents, so...
Let's get into the albums that we're going to choose for next week.
Yeah, next week is a regular episode, so it's just picks that we decide we want the groups to listen to. Jacob, you start.
I have chosen something that is probably miles away from your normal wheelhouses. It's the self-titled 1971 debut by singer-songwriter, country folk artist John Prine. Move on to Brian.
That's a song that's certainly out of my wheelhouse, but I know that me and you have talked about how we struggle with metal in the past, so I think I want to try and get us to listen to a metal album that's very contemporary. It was released this year by a group called Zeal and Ardor, titled Stranger Fruit. It mixes slave spirituals with, you know, the sounds of metal.
My pick is going to be different from the first two albums I picked. Getting away from that metal and more of that classic, like, just fast-paced, catchy rock. I Swear I'm Good at This by Diet Sick.
Thanks for tuning in to the Unwarranted Music Opinions. We hope you return, and we will yell at each other for disliking things that we like even more on the next episode.